Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Joe.
We're going to be talking about one of my favorite activities with a group. Actually, it is kind of fun if you go, where you don't have to be really good at it. You can still have a lot of fun because you'll laugh at how bad you are. And that's bowling.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that people laugh at when they go bowling.
Yeah,
I'm not that good at it.
Yeah, and if I do get a strike, and we'll talk about, you know, what it means to throw that bowling ball and hit all the pins so they go down, that's a strike. It's just luck. I'll admit it. Joe, there's no skill involved. Mine's just luck. Usually my ball does go down the gutter and doesn't hit anything, which is really horrible. But it's interesting. I didn't know this, but it actually has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's an ancient sport.
Yeah, I didn't know it had been around for such a long time. I always thought it was a modern sport. But as we're going to learn today, yes, it goes back a very, very long time.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. Well, guys, let's go ahead and read through the article, and then we'll come back and talk about some of these things.
Slowly and steadily, you approach the lane. Nothing distracts you from your target. With the utmost precision, you aim, swing, and release the ball. It lands with a resounding thud, and you watch with bated breath as it rolls toward the pins. Only when the ball collides with the pins do you relax. It's a strike. Arms raised in triumph, you head back for high fives with your cheering friends. Bowling seems a modern form of recreation, but it actually originated in ancient times. The earliest known evidence of bowling, primitive child-sized pins and balls discovered in an Egyptian child's tomb, dates back to 3200 BC. Bowling reappeared again in Germany around the 4th century, this time as a religious rite rather than a game. In this era, German men commonly carried a kegel, a wooden club used for protection wherever they went, even to church. The kegels, thought to represent sin, evil, and the devil, were set in a corner of the church. It was believed that a man could rid himself of sin by rolling a stone at the kegels and knocking them down. This tradition eventually evolved into Kegeln, a 9-pin game that found its way to the U.S. via German settlers in the 19th century. However, in 1841, the state of Connecticut banned 9-pin bowling because of its link to gambling. To circumvent the law, 10-pin bowling, the modern version of the game, was invented. From that point on, the popularity of 10-pin bowling soared. By the turn of the century, bowling alleys were located all over the U.S. Today, more than 100 million bowlers worldwide hit the lanes every year, hoping to hear all 10 pins crashing to the ground, the satisfying sound of victory.
Okay, guys, we're going to be talking about the ancient art of bowling. Even though it's a sport, you probably think, well, why are they calling it an art? Because everything that requires some skill is considered to be an art. I'm not very good at bowling, so I would say I don't have many skills. But it's sure fun to go with friends, because usually if you go to a bowling alley, that's a place where they bowl. A bowling alley. Remember, it's a basketball court, a football field. We go to a bowling alley. It's inside. Usually there's lots of fun food. There's friends.
Music.
Oh, definitely music. But the only thing I don't like about bowling are the shoes that you have to wear, because other people have been wearing them and they people's feet are dirty. I don't know. It kind of grosses me out. If you're really a big fan of bowling, buy your own shoes.
That's right. You don't have to share shoes with 400 other people that wore them before you.
Right.
Well, we start off with a description of what it can look like if you're good at bowling, this would not be something that happens to me very often.
No.
Let's set the scene here. It says, slowly and steadily you approach the lane. So you're going slow. You start off with a slow movement, but it's a steady movement.
Yeah.
If something is done steadily, it means it's not done quickly, but the movements are unbroken. It goes along very smoothly and unbroken. And you approach the lane. The lane is the long, narrow space that the ball will travel down towards the pins. So the place with the lanes, plural, because there's always more than one lane, is called the alley, and the lane is the place that you throw the ball down towards the pins. And to approach means to come closer or nearer to something. So you've got the ball in your hand, and you're moving towards the lane and the line where you're going to have to throw the ball.
Right. Well, what you're going to want to do is use a lot of precision.
Mm-hmm.
Precision is a noun. If you're precise, you're very accurate. Here we're using the noun form.
But we have to say nothing distracts you from your target.
Oh, that's right.
Remember,
I was just distracted.
If you get distracted, it means that somebody has taken your attention away from somebody. And I have to say that when me and my friends go bowling, yeah, we try to distract each other.
We always do that.
We mess with each other. Like if somebody's going to throw the ball, we're yelling at each other. We're making as much noise as possible. Sometimes I would even go stand right beside the place where they have to throw and just stare at them, just to throw them off, just do anything. So you have to be a good attention span. You have to have focus.
Focus.
So you don't
get
distracted. And then we get to the precision.
Okay. And now, with the utmost precision, utmost just means the greatest possible. With the most precision that you have in you, you aim, so you try to look at your target, right? You swing your arm back, and then you release the ball.
Yes.
And hopefully it rolls down the middle.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And it doesn't go into the gutter, which is where mine goes. There are gutters on both sides, I think, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and it's that little, like, it looks like a little canal. There's a dip in it. And if the ball goes in there, you didn't get any of the pins.
You got zero.
And you're embarrassed.
Yes.
That's me.
But it's funny, though. Everybody will laugh and have a good time.
It's called a gutter ball.
Well, in this case, okay, you swing, you release the ball, it lands with a resounding thud. It's resounding means the sound is very loud. It might echo throughout the space. Everyone can hear it. And a thud is a sound when something heavy strikes a surface. So, like, if you fall down from a high place and you hit the ground, you might land with a thud. Or if you drop something heavy on the ground, yes, we describe that sound as a thud. It's just a loud noise of something striking the ground. And then it says you watch with bated breath as it rolls toward the pins. Now, this is being a little bit funny. It's being very dramatic.
Dramatic, right? Yeah.
If you're doing something with bated breath, it means you're basically kind of holding your breath. You have such a high level of anticipation for the moments to come, and the expectations are so high that you kind of go, and you don't breathe out until whatever's going to happen then happens.
Yeah. I wanted to mention thud is one of our sound words.
Yes.
We've got words that just are symbolic, I guess, of the sound. It actually sounds like thud.
Or smack.
Smack. Or
splat.
Yeah, anything like that. A couple of months ago, there was a man who jumped without a parachute.
Yes.
And with no parachute at all, and he wanted to hit a net, and if he didn't land in the net, he would die instantly.
That would have been a thud, or more of a splat, maybe.
I watched that with bated breath.
Yes.
I held my breath the entire time. It was horrible just to watch, but he made it out alive. Well, only when the ball collides with the pins do you relax. Oh, it's a strike. We, of course, are talking about someone who's good at bowling. Joe and I rarely get strikes. If you collide with something or somebody, you run into them, you smash into them. And what your goal is to release that bowling ball, and it smacks or collides right into all the pins.
And knocks them all over.
Knocks them all down. Wasn't that great? Yeah.
And what happens when you do this? Well, you raise your arms in triumph.
Totally.
Triumph means victory. It means you have won. You have succeeded in whatever you were trying to do. Yeah, you celebrate when you get a strike.
Totally.
That's the best possible outcome. You've knocked down all the pins. and you head back for high fives with your cheering friends. Everybody's congratulating each other, smacking their hands together, because you got a strike. You got a perfect score.
Super. Now, in the next paragraph, it starts out with, bowling seems a modern form of recreation, but it actually originated in ancient times. I thought it was more modern. I didn't know it was ancient, so this is a fun article for me to learn about the history or the origin of bowling. If you're talking about recreation, you're doing something that you do to relax, to have fun. You're definitely not at work. So some sorts of recreation might include going to the night market, going to the baseball, going to see a baseball game, maybe going rollerblading in the park. Whatever you enjoy is recreation for you.
Yeah, it can just be something fun you do, exercise, anything that's not work-related,
yeah,
basically can be recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we said we thought, or it seems like,
yeah,
a modern form, something that comes from today or not that long ago.
Right.
But it actually originated in ancient times. If something originates, it's when something started,
sure,
or where it comes from, when it comes from, actually. Ancient times, when we say something is ancient, we're usually talking thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
And we are. As we learn in the next sentence, the earliest known evidence of bowling, primitive child-sized pins and balls, mm-hmm, discovered in an Egyptian child's tomb, dates back to 3200 BC. This is the earliest evidence, the first proof that we,
yeah,
have of the sport, and it's these primitive child-sized pins. If something is primitive, it's very, very basic. Usually we're talking about something that's old, something that, it's basic. It's not advanced. We can talk about primitive tools, for example,
mm-hmm,
like a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing advanced about it. It's something that you use to swing into something else. So these pins, they're not only primitive, they're child-sized. That just means small,
yeah,
I guess. And the balls as well. And it comes from an Egyptian child's tomb. Egyptian just describes things that come from Egypt, from the country of Egypt.
Yeah, and it dates back to 3200 BC. So that's when they think these pins were made. If something dates back to a certain time, that's when that object or that thing was actually used or made. So it looks like it's definitely ancient. Oh, yeah, that counts. Sounds like this little child who lived in Egypt long ago really loved to play with these pins. He loved bowling, or she loved bowling. And so when she passed away, the parents buried their favorite toy with the child. That's what I'm thinking happened.
Yeah, because in Egypt, when somebody died, they would bury them with all the things they would want for the afterlife.
Oh, in heaven, right.
Yeah, so they would bury them with all these things so they could send them with them to the afterlife so they could enjoy them there.
Yeah. Bowling reappeared again in Germany around the 4th century, this time as a religious rite rather than a game. A rite here just means some sort of religious ceremony. In this era, or in this time period, we're going to see what these German men did. But first, guys, we're going to take a little break right now, listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to talk about how the Germans brought back bowling and what they did to resurrect or to bring back this game and how we then got it in the States, in the U.S. Right now, we're going to listen to, though, our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天要介绍的是 bowling, 保龄球。我们首先来看到第一个空格的句子。Only when the ball collides with the pins, blank one, relax.It's a strike. 在这里要请同学特别注意的是，如果我用 only when 或是 only if 开头的句子，后面主要的句子呢是要倒装，所以只有当这个球呢跟球瓶碰撞到的那个时候，你才能够放松下来。所以要配合句型的需求，这里需要倒装。第一题，我们的标准答案可以选择 B 选项 Do you?You, 因为后面加的是原形动词 relax. 第二个空格 arms blank two in triumph. You head back for high fives with your cheering friends. 在这里提到呢，如果你是全倒，那么在胜利中你会高举着双臂，然后回过头来跟这些朋友们 high five 击掌。第二个空格也是考同学文法的观念， arms 手臂受到大脑的控制而举起来，所以不是手臂自己举起来，是被大脑控制的，所以在这里我们应该选择 A 选项 raised， 用 VPP 来表示被动。第三个空格在这里要介绍呢保龄球的历史， The earliest known blank three of bowling, primitive child-sized pins and balls discovered in an Egyptian child's tomb dates back to 3200 BC. 在这里呢提到最早呢我们所知道有关于保龄球的什么是可以回溯到西元前3200年。我们来看一下第三题， A 选项 requirement 需求， B foundation 基础， C promotion 提升，D evidence 当时呢在这个埃及小孩子坟墓里面所挖掘出来的就是我们所知道最早有关于保龄球的证据，所以第三题的标准答案我们就选择 D evidence。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to English Digest. Today on the program, we're talking about the ancient art of bowling. I didn't know this game was so old. I just thought it's something that came along in modern times, but it actually goes back thousands of years. In fact, we learned that the earliest evidence actually dates back to 3200 BC. Now, that makes it over 5,000 years old, if this is correct. It looks like this game originated in ancient Egypt. Okay,
yeah.
So it's, we can thank the Egyptians for this game. And now we're learning that it reappeared in Germany around the 4th century. So maybe it disappeared for a while, or we just can't find any other evidence of the game in other places or other eras or other periods of time. But if we fast forward to the 4th century, it came back as a religious rite. As Stephanie explained, a rite is just some sort of ceremony that you go through. It can be, we talk about rites of passage for men or for women. It's something that you go through at a certain age. But in this case, it has to do with religion. So it's something to do with worshiping God or something of that nature. So let's learn about what they were doing in this religious rite.
Well, the German men in the fourth century, remember, would commonly carry around something called a kegel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a German word. It means a wooden club. And they use these for protection wherever they went. Even to church. They carried these clubs with them all the time.
I guess they got into a lot of fights at church, maybe.
Well, the kegels, or these clubs, actually were thought to represent or stand for sin. Sin is anything that you do that is against God's rules, or as we call them, commandments. Anything you do wrong. For example, if you have an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have an affair, it's bad, but the police aren't going to come and arrest you and put you in jail. But what you did is considered to be bad among most people. It's considered to be bad or immoral. It's a sin. Well, these kegels were thought to represent bad things you've done, evil, and the devil.
Yes, but they were actually set in the corner of the church, so you couldn't carry it with you if you went to sit down. You had to put them by the door. I guess this would prevent people from getting in fights and swinging clubs at each other's heads at church. They don't want to do that at church. They want it to be a nice, calm, and peaceful affair.
Yeah.
Now, it was believed that a man could rid himself of sin by rolling a stone at the kegels and knocking them down.
Interesting.
Okay. You could rid yourself of sin. If you rid yourself of something, it means you banish something from yourself.
Get rid of it.
You get rid of it. It's not in you anymore. So if you have some sort of sin, if you've done something that you believe is wrong or that your religion tells you that God says is wrong, you could just take a stone, roll it at these kegels, and if you knocked them down, then the sin was gone. So that's nice. That's easy to do.
That's very easy.
During the week, you can just go out and do all this bad stuff, and then you can go into church, roll the stone at the Kegels, knock them down. Sin is gone.
Yeah, and you're an angel again.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, this tradition eventually evolved. If something evolves into something, it changes slowly over time into something called Kegel, a 9-pin game that found its way to the U.S. via German settlers in the 19th century. So there were German people that wanted to immigrate to the U.S. in the 19th century, 1800s, and they brought this game with them. That's how we have it. Via simply means through. You will hear some people who say via. Most people say via. However, in 1841, the state of Connecticut, that's in the northeastern part of the U.S., close to New York, they banned or said, oh, no, it's against the law to have 9-pin bowling. Why? Because a lot of people were playing Kegel, which is that 9-pin bowling, and they were gambling.
That's right. They were putting money on the games. They were saying, okay, I believe this guy's going to win, so I'll bet you
$10, $100 he wins.
Yeah, they were gambling on it. And I guess in Connecticut at that time, it was illegal. It was against the law.
Oh, gambling was illegal everywhere then.
Gambling was illegal everywhere then. There are places, of course, now where you can go and you can gamble as much as you want.
Lose as much money as you want.
You can go to Las Vegas or Macau or lots of other
places. Yeah, all these places, yeah.
Okay, but usually when something goes against the law, people find a way around it. Now, remember, Kegel had 9 pins.
Uh-huh.
Now, to circumvent the law, circumvent here means you find a way around something, usually like a law. So something is against the law, you find a way to do it legally. That's what it means to circumvent. 10-pin bowling, the modern version of the game, was invented. So, you know, the law, the police, the authorities, they said, this game with 9 pins is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So people just added a pin. They said, oh, no, this isn't Kegel. This is something else. See, Kegel had 9 pins. This has 10 pins. This is totally different. And
I love this.
The authorities probably went, okay, fine.
Drats, yeah.
This is the modern version of the game, a version of something is when you have something, but it changes slightly over time, perhaps, mm-hmm. or you change the rules, or you change something about it, and it becomes, it's still similar, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's like our software. Every time a new version comes out, it's a little different, but it's basically the same.
Like Windows 10 is
right.
The most modern version of Windows.
Well, from that point on, the popularity of 10-pin bowling soared. If something's popular, a lot of people like it. And popular is the adjective form. Popularity is the noun form. You could also say, from that point on, 10-pin bowling was very popular. Its popularity soared means it went up a lot. When we use that verb to soar, it means things are flying high or going from a low position to a high position very, very quickly. Your spirits can soar if you're very happy. Sometimes we use it in a figurative sense. By the turn of the century, bowling alleys, remember that's where people go to bowl, that's what they're called, bowling alleys, were located all over the U.S. I think they were really popular when I was growing up, probably not so popular today, but I find they're a fun place to have a party or to have an office party. My office in New York, all of us would go to bowling alleys and have a lot of fun because everybody can play. You don't have to be really good at it, like tennis. If you're not good at tennis, it's not fun.
That's right. But bowling is one of those rare sports where if you're bad, it's still fun.
Yeah.
It's almost like, more fun if you're bad.
It's like KTV. KTV, if you're a bad singer, it's actually funnier.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, it does say that today, more than 100 million bowlers worldwide hit the lanes every year. Hit the lanes here doesn't mean they actually physically hit them. It just means you go somewhere.
Yeah.
To hit a place just means you're going to a place. Let's go hit the movies.
Hit the slopes.
Let's hit the slopes. Let's go skiing or snowboarding.
Yeah.
They hit the lanes just means go bowling. And it says they're hoping to hear all 10 pins crashing to the ground. Remember, that's a strike, one of the bowling terms.
Yeah.
That's when you throw the ball once and they all fall down. If you throw the ball once and knock down some and then knock down the rest,
oh,
that's a spare.
Very good.
That's a spare. So now we know strikes and spares. I don't know the other terms.
Well, I did teach them the gutter ball.
Oh,
when
gutter ball.
Your ball goes down the gutter.
That's a useful one to know, because if you're new, you will be experiencing that a lot. But the sound of the pins crashing to the ground, it's satisfying. If something is satisfying, it makes you feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Gives you a nice, pleasant feeling.
Yeah.
And it's the sound of victory. You've won. You've accomplished what you set out to do. We're almost out of time for the program today. Before we leave you, let's listen to our Chinese teacher one more time.
第四个空格的句子提到 Bowling reappeared again in Germany around the 4th century. This time as a blank for right rather than a game. 那么呢，再一次保龄球的出现就是在第四世纪在德国，而这一次呢，它是一个怎么样的 right? Right 指的是仪式跟惯例，而不是比赛或者是游戏咯。我们来看一下第四题 A 选项 religious 宗教的 B profitable有利的 ，C consistent 前后一致的 ，D sensitive 敏感的，在文章的后面提到呢，那么其实它是有一些宗教上面的意义。你把这些呢，瓶子给推倒了，就代表呢罪孽跟邪恶也被推倒的这种隐喻。所以在这里的第四格跟后面的文句有关系的话，我们当然就选择 A。Religious 是跟宗教的仪式有关。第五个空格的句子提到 It was believed that a man could blank five himself blank five sin by rolling a stone at the kegels and knocking them down。当时一般相信呢，可以借由呢这些木柱滚动石头，然后击倒这些木柱，来代表着自身的罪孽可以如何处理呢？第五题 A. Punish for 因为怎么样而处罚 B. Rid of 使免除使摆脱 C. Commit to 把什么交托于 D. Regard as 视什么为什么。当时认为只要呢你滚动石头把它给撞倒，就代表着可以摆脱免除自己所犯的罪孽。接着在第六个空格 However, in 1841, the state of Connecticut blank six nine-pin bowling because of its link to gambling. 在这里呢，康乃狄克州呢，因为这种九瓶的保龄球跟赌博有关，当然咯，州政府只要扯上赌博就会禁止它。第六题 A demanded 要求 B objected 反对 C promoted 提倡 D banned 禁止它。所以呢，第六题我们可以选择 D禁止的意思，因为后面还有提到为了要规避这样的法律呢，才会有了十个保龄球瓶的出现。第七个空格 Today, more than 100 million bowlers worldwide hit the lanes every year, hoping to hear all 10 pins blank 7 to the ground, the satisfying sound of victory. 而到了今天呢，全世界啊，每一年都会有超过1亿名的保龄球玩家在打保龄球，当然他们希望就是听到这十个瓶子可以怎么样到这个地上。在这里要考考同学文法的观念 ，here 加上受词，后面可以加原形动词或者是 ving， 表示强调那样子的声音。所以第七题标准答案我们就选择 C crashing， 在这里有倒下、坠落的意思。以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We both hope you guys get an opportunity to go out and do a little bowling. I guess you don't play bowling. Do some bowling. Find a bowling alley that's near you and go see how good or how bad you really are at this particular sport.
Yeah, go out there and hit the lanes and have some fun.
We're English Digest and Stephanie.
And I'm Joe.
Bye.
Goodbye.